I'm going to tell you a few stories. All you have to do is listen.
Welcome to another movie podcast, the show that suggests a drinking game where you take a shot every time a John Denver song shows up in a movie. I am Oscar. With me today is Ralph, but he ain't around because we have a tight, weird schedule. He has a new job, folks. Gonna be hard for the next upcoming, like, two or three other shows. Hence why we're recording so late every time and posting a little later. But regardless, we tried our best. I almost did a solo cast. Thank God I didn't have to. He'll show up soon, guys. This is episode number 33. And today's show we'll be reviewing three films as usual. One is Sofia Coppola's latest film that came out, I believe, in June, The Beguiled, which is right now available to, not necessarily stream, but you can buy or rent on VOD and iTunes. And then we'll do a streaming movie next. That's a new release also from Netflix. One of their movies from this year called What Happened to Monday. And that's like an action sci-fi kind of movie. And then we'll end our show today with a review of Kingsman, The Golden Circle. Matthew Vaughn, that's his name, reprising his, doing a sequel to the famous, really hailed action movie, Kingsman, the Secret Service, right? So that's what we're going to do today. Remember, everybody, you can always send feedback to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Otherpodcast.com is where you can find all of our episodes. Right now we're in middle of construction to refill everything we're going to do. And we are in current still talking about what we're going to do for our marathon upcoming. Our upcoming marathon, I mean, now that we finished our animation. But you can find all those episodes on otherpodcast.com. Also, follow our Twitter at PodMovieCast as well. and don't worry, not all of this stuff is in every show that you download for us. So let's get to, I do have a few things that were in what we've been watching, but I'm going to save them because this is enough of me talking by myself. It's going to be weird. So, and Roth doesn't have anything, obviously. So I did see some movies, but I'll save them for the next show. So without further ado, let us start with our first review today of The Beguiled.
We ask for your protection over our school, and we pray that we will be kept from harm throughout the night.
Amen.
Miss Martha! Miss Martha!
Is he dead?
No. Get him inside. Quick! You're a most unwelcome visitor, and we do not propose to entertain you.
You'll find them easily amused.
You won't be here long enough for that.
How did you end up in this place?
Why are you so interested in me?
I admire your strength.
I'm just trying to give them what they need to survive in these times.
If you could have anything in the world, what would it be?
To be taken far away from here.
Come with me.
He seems to be a sensitive person.
Does he?
When a Virginian girls' school takes in a wounded Union soldier, bitter jealousy and mistrust surfaces dramatically. It's kind of hard to make up a good synopsis for
Mama.
That.
Mama!
It is The Beguiled by Sofia Coppola.
What you should have said is...
Coppola.
What? When, what's it called? When Southern hospitality meets...
meets Northern exposure.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's pretty stupid, I guess. Sofia Coppola is the director of... many films, some more popular than others, but her biggest one, the first one, she did the Virgin Suicides. She did Lost in Translation, Marie Antoinette, Somewhere, The Bling Ring. These are all movies that are the most popular. She's done a few others before that that were kind of indie. She did A Very Merry Christmas, which is a TV special.
I saw that.
How was that?
I actually liked it.
Yeah.
It was funny. Yeah.
I didn't see that one myself. The Beguiled is a remake, actually.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes,
from a Clint Eastwood movie in the 70s?
Yeah, I'd never seen the original.
I will watch it. I got the original copy, but of that original, I mean, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So The Beguiled, starring a bunch of well-known actors.
Big actresses.
Yeah, for sure.
That one who was in that one movie.
That's true. Nicole Kidman, who's having a big year right now, actually. This year is a
with,
good
like,
year
shows also, right?
Yeah, yeah. She won. Didn't she win for Best Actress?
She did, yeah.
In the Emmys?
Or Best Scene or some stupid shit like that? No, it was Best Actress, yeah.
She deserved it.
Somebody won Best Moments.
Was it Big Little Lies or something?
Yeah, Big Little Lies, yeah.
That's it. It was really good. So Nicole Kidman, it stars Kirsten Dunst, Elle Fanning, Una Lawrence, Angourise Rice, Addison Riek, Emma Howard, and Colin Farrell.
Did you say Una Lawrence?
I did say Una Lawrence.
Okay. I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Oh, you're looking at what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Right on. So, our first here review. I missed this movie in theaters, but it's one of the movies I really wanted to catch up with. I heard a lot of great things. Also, the first time the Cannes Film Festival, not the first time, but the first time in a long time. Like,
you mean the Cannes?
Yes.
Right.
In like over 30 years that they awarded Best Director to a woman.
Oh.
And she got it for this movie.
I thought you said awarded.
Sofia Coppola. Wow. Awarded.
Best Director.
I know I have English as second language problem here, but.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think of The Beguiled? I should say. What do you think of Sofia Coppola?
She sucks.
No. What do you think of Sofia Coppola as a director? Have you seen some of her stuff?
I like her stuff that I've seen. I never saw The Bling Ring. I didn't see some other of her movies. But I like the stuff that she's... I like her perspective, I suppose, that she puts on the movie.
Okay.
And cool. Every movie has... I know she likes Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten.
Or Kirsten, yeah. Right?
I know, I fucked that up a lot.
Whatever, he's a fuck.
Yeah, what kind of name is that?
Okay. I have to deal with PH in my name, so fuck everybody else. Anyways, Kirsten. Stupid. Yeah, no, I know she likes her for specifically for like a lot of the stuff that she likes to do.
Yeah, is it their third film together,
there's,
I think?
There's an interesting, like, always weird, serious demeanor in each of their movies. Like, there's obviously joy and stuff. Like with Marie Antoinette, I look at that one. There's always something very serious in her movies. I don't know if it's not. Maybe the subject is always something serious in general. Virgin Suicide.
Well, I think.
Of other stuff.
I think her one of her staples, she has many. You know, she has her style for sure. She's a stylist. One of her shticks, I think her biggest one is that she loves to portray women a lot. But more importantly, it's like in transition periods. Like. In Virgin Suicide, it's from becoming girl to woman or adolescent to woman. And The Beguiled is no stranger to that either. And we have
it's very similar. The difference is there's a range from everybody.
There's a range, which is more on the Virgin Suicides.
If there was an infant, it would have everything.
Right. All they needed was an infant.
All they needed was an infant.
So I think, I don't want to say her movies are about gender, but they are about some sort of gender dynamics within women and what they represent or what they do in their respective societies, like wherever they are, either it's suburbia in the 90s or in French times in Marie Antoinette or whatever it is.
Sure.
She likes that stuff, you know? So,
yeah.
So with that in mind, what did you think of The Beguiled?
I didn't know where this movie was going. Did not know anything about this movie.
No trailer either?
It sounds like a horror movie, to be honest with you. It does have horror aspects in this movie.
It does have, like, danger looming kind of thing.
Sure. That's what I guess. That's what I meant, I guess.
No, you're right. It's dread, yeah.
The dread, yeah. But, I don't know. It was interesting. I didn't know where, like, it's hard because this movie has such a lot of big actresses, or big named actresses.
Yeah.
And, I honestly didn't know who to focus on because everybody's doing something, like, different. But at the same time, they all, like, they're all really interested in what, like, they're not, I guess, what they encounter, which is Colin Farrell.
Yeah, which happens almost right away.
Yes, immediately, like, first 5 minutes. So I'm not really ruining anything. But I do feel like that. I was trying to, like, okay, I felt like Nicole Kidman's obviously the star. I was like, no, what? Kirsten might be like the one, you know.
But then again, Elle Fanning.
And I was like, yeah. And then, but they all have a lot of screen time, and they're all doing something. And if you all watch them, and like they all react differently to things, how their facial reactions and a bunch of stuff like that.
Oh, man, this movie's all about the looks.
It really is.
It's the looks that they're getting away with when there's someone else turned their back on them.
There's so much of that.
Each other.
Exactly. So I didn't know what to think of this movie. I kind of felt like a really slow burn in the beginning. Overall, I liked the movie. Mm-hmm. I came out liking the movie. But it did feel very slow burnish. Like, I just did not know what was going to happen. I didn't think the threat was that big just because they had, like, it felt like, not the numbers, but it felt like they were obviously just, you know, more smarter, you know, because it seemed like they were always poised and smart from the get-go.
Well, it's more like, my thoughts on it real quick is that I love this movie a lot. I think this and Lost in Translation has got to be whatever equivalent of masterpieces that she's made. I think these two are my favorites, and they're both tonally very different to me. Lost in Translation is easier to watch. There's not dread like in this movie at all. Actually, Lost in Translation is much more fluffier in that way. But you know, the subject matters I like a lot. This movie, I think. I think that the setting is very important as the characters of these people. She does a really good job at portraying what kind of people they are in a short amount of time, considering there's like a bunch of them. Obviously, the younger they are, the younger these girls are. Some of them are little girls. Obviously, they don't have much of a personality, but they have curiosities, and she shows them pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
More than pretty well. I think the nuance between the school teacher, the headmistress, whatever, Nicole Kidman's character, and her subordinate, which is Kirsten Dunst, and then Elle Fanning, which is the clearest representation of like adolescence wanting to grow up kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she portrays that very well, especially after seeing the Neon Demon. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
No, I haven't seen it.
She plays the main actress in that one. Kind of reminds me of that, only not as hardcore. So I think she does a really good job at doing all these dynamic things. And I think the reason they are smart is because they have to be. I mean, this is during the Civil War. They're in Virginia, so they're in the South. And the war hasn't ended yet. But here comes this Union soldier, an enemy, essentially. And they, you know, they're Catholic. They're...
No, they're Christian.
Were they Christian? Yeah. Did they say that? Okay. Christian. Okay. Their Christian upbringing, you know, means, you know, do no harm to fellow man or whatever, even though there's a war going on and people will gladly do it. And they had chances to do things, but they choose to do the right thing. And this is kind of those movies like no good deed goes unpunished kind of feeling. And I think they're smart because they have to be, and because they don't have any security that isn't themselves.
And they really don't.
And it's more like they're just very cloistered and hidden because they have to be. They don't have a man. In a world, in an era where having a man around, or a few of them...
Well, you almost need it.
...that are loyal or not there to take advantage of you is a great thing and much needed.
Yeah, much needed. Definitely.
And here comes this guy. And I want to talk about Colin Farrell for sure a lot, because he is... This guy comes in and you could tell that he is upturning their world from the minute one.
Yeah.
And did you ever think or feel like it was a good reason, like that him bringing excitement, let's say, or drama to this house was ever going to be a good thing? Or did you always feel like it was going to be a bad thing?
No, I always felt it was going to be a bad thing. Mm. Just because it was like introducing sugar for the first time to people, you know? And it's like they kept oh, eating it, right? And they were like, oh, yeah, it's great. Oh, I don't need to have that. It's too sweet. But they're like, oh, but it's addicting as fuck, you know, because that's what sugar is, really. So, and they're just so addicted to it. And I already forgot his name. What Colin Farrell brings into this is that he's completely something new that you can abuse for I don't know how long mm-hmm. until he becomes boring, right? And the normal in this household. That's something that needed to, like, gave breath to this house for just about everybody, except for maybe the mistress. But even her, it still did it. Like, at least in showing, in facial expressions, it didn't show at her at first. She's just, like, very worrisome, you know, which she should be.
Yeah.
But everybody else is just like, oh, my God, a breath of fresh air. Like, we don't have to do.
I love how everyone.
It doesn't feel like it has to be work and chores and learning and school and everything, blah, you know, this new guy, even though we're doing the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I was just incorporating him a little bit in it, right? It's just him being there, just literally upturn their world.
It's like an extreme, more personal reaction to, like, you know, how if you were to watch a family through cameras, for the hidden cameras, let's say, in a house for, let's say, a month, and then for the next month, you're watching the same thing, but you tell them there's cameras there, and you have to act normal. It's like that. It's like knowing the presence of something there.
Right, exactly.
It changes everything, and it's a different reaction from everybody, too. The little girl wants to show off her pets, you know, her animals. Elle Fanning's character is clearly waking up to sex and the hormones going inside her. And then there's Edwina, which is Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
That's the only name I remember more, and Miss Martha, of course. She is looking for a way out. She sees him as a better life. Yeah. A life that
does not involve anybody there.
Right, because she is stuck. They're all stuck there. Yeah. She particularly does not want to be there. And then Miss Martha is the cautionary one, the one that has to be. But even she slips up a few times in some of her, not only decisions, but in some of her almost decisions.
Right.
So I think this movie is really cool that way. It's kind of hard to talk further, but
without getting into spoilers.
Without really getting into spoilers, but I want to say that the costuming and art design of the film, and I think the filmmaking overall was pretty cool. I really like the editing too.
Yeah.
When to cut to exactly the look and when to cut out away from them. The setting up of mushrooms, for example.
The lack of lighting because of candles everywhere.
Right. It wasn't so much like Stanley Kubrick's movie. Was that Barry Lyndon? It wasn't quite like that. That movie was famous for using candles to actually light it. Like, movies are not actually made that way. They use fake lights.
Right.
But he was famous for making it work with just the lighting that was available to those people back then in those old
hard
times. Yeah, it was very hard. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
The VHS copy I had was two tapes. That's how you know.
I remember.
It's a big fucking movie. Kids, ask your parents what VHS is. I think it made it look really cool. And I guess I'm glad that, you know, Sofia Coppola is also known for putting pop music into situations and things that normally, you know, none of that here.
None of that, no.
Yeah, she keeps the tone. She's just probably her most, I don't want to say serious, but is her most, like, I guess serious is the right word. Because her other movies, I'm not saying don't take them seriously. The Bling Ring is fun and it should be taken seriously, but it's definitely much lighter. I don't even seen it, but it's about these kids who steal from the rich.
No, I know what it's about, yeah.
But this is definitely her most, like, deadpan. I don't think that's the right word. Serious fucking work, anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's all reflected really nice. You want to talk about the acting a little bit?
Do you want to get spoilers now first?
The acting, not the choices or what they do, but what did you think of their performances and shit?
I guess overall, I mean, I think everybody did a great job. The youngest girl, the one who played the piano, I think it was, or the violin.
I think that was Angourise Rice.
Yeah. She had probably the least amount of time, I think, because the other girl's the one who found her, right?
The thing is that I'm looking at these pictures. They're modern pictures, and I'm trying to visualize them in the dresses, the whole time. Yeah. So it's kind
of... Una Lawrence is the girl who, what's it called? No, Una Lawrence is the one who found him.
Oh, was that her?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the one with the turtle.
Okay.
Same girl, right?
I believe you. I just don't know.
But yeah, anyways, I just felt obviously those three girls had the least amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I can't really give too much on them. They played like kids, especially the Addison Marie, whatever the character name was.
Yeah, okay.
I think she was the most youngest or the one who was probably the calmest, least amount of screen time for sure in comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Overall, everybody else, I think they did a really great job. The only one I didn't find too believable, and it wasn't the acting, was Kirsten's character.
Oh, really? Okay.
I didn't see her perspective too much or that much. Yeah, but at the same time, cool. I didn't feel like it at first, especially towards the end.
Okay. Well, let's get to it now then. Spoilers for The Beguiled. Starting right now.
It has occurred to me that we might reflect on the unexpected presence of Corporal McBurney in the house. Until his leg heals, of course.
And we might discuss how we may practice compassion and what else we might learn from his presence here. What does each of you think of this? Miss Alicia, can you tell us what you think we may learn from his presence here?
Maybe the sight of him will remind us there's something else in the world besides lessons.
Well, it seems to me that is all there should be for any young lady your age.
I would hate to have sex in the past. It's
a big orgy.
So much work.
It's like, you know, at the end of It, the book? That's what happens here.
Right.
So what do you mean to explain on the
Edwina's? So you know how, like, when he meets her and he's, like, wooed immediately by her.
Kirsten?
No.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell is, like, immediately, like, falls in love with her or something like that, right?
Do you believe that, by the way?
I felt like he picked her out right away, and I felt for bad decisions, like, as in, like, I'm going to use her as whatever ploy I need to. Hmm. That's what it kind of looked like right away.
Okay.
Wooing her or whatever I needed to do. But I felt the beginning, that one scene where he kind of like calls her out on, like, you're the loner and you're this and you're that, and like out of the group. A really cool scene. But after that, yeah, like that when cool. she like goes and fucks him, and later on in the movie and a bunch of other stuff, I found believable. I didn't find it.
You mean the way it happened or that it happened?
I guess the way it happened and it happened, because especially right after a bunch of stuff had just happened recently. I didn't find it believable that she was actually ever in love with him or even in lust with him. Maybe she was, I can't bring up the word. Interested for sure, or like intrigued, you know, because this man like maybe pegged her, like, and not with his penis, but
although he did do that.
Yep,
that's really interesting. I have a point of view on that.
Specifically after the fact that he was totally fooling around with the fanning girl.
She stole a kiss in the middle of prayer or something. Remember?
Right.
And when he was sleeping.
Right. But not only that, but they were about to fuck. Right. If I'm correct.
Oh, before, but yeah. When he broke his leg.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Maybe worse.
He re-broke his leg.
Re-broke his leg. Whatever. Yeah.
No, that was an actual fuck up break. Like the bone stuck out. Oh,
yeah.
But that part, like especially after that part, because she saw what was happening and she kept it hidden, like to everybody. Like she didn't even talk to anybody about it.
Yeah.
She didn't even bring it up to the girl that actually happened.
It's funny.
I just her actions didn't seem believable after that.
It's funny. So let's get into that then, because I think they were very believable. And I think Kirsten Dunst is, she had probably the toughest job because, and I guess she wasn't able to convince you. Her acting had to be the toughest because she had to convince the audiences that she of her actions essentially. So the way I saw it is that he was able to, the captain. I forgot his name for a second. Colin Farrell. I think his character did convince her about this love or possibility of a starting love. And again, I'm not. Obviously, I don't know how it was like living back then like that ever. But
sure,
I'm not saying that. Obviously, there are different ways back then. I'm not saying that that's what the reason is that I'm going to go with here. I'm just giving you that as an example because today that will never happen, I don't think. So he convinces her. When that illusion is shattered, when he finds her, you know, when he breaks his leg that night and he finds her in bed, she finds him, sorry, in bed with Elle Fanning's character, she keeps it because she keeps it hidden and does the following actions after the third act stuff. I think she does it because she wants to get out much more desperately. She sees him as her way out. Like when they have sex, which by the way, she really doesn't have sex. He has sex on her.
Animalistic,
and
right, but she incites it.
Yeah, no, she does. She just goes out there without saying a fucking word.
Right, right,
like
exactly.
Determined.
Right.
I think that's the face of someone who will do anything to get out. And it's not, at first I was like, she's going up to fuck him to defuse the situation. Maybe that's what she's trying to do. And then by the end of the movie, it worked, I guess, for that day. But no, I think she ended up doing it because she is letting herself be selfish on something, on a situation that she hasn't let herself be selfish about. like she that's her weakness, that's her sin kind of thing, because she's trying to get out and will use him to do that. And even like if fucking him prematurely, obviously because they're not married, but like, you know, betrothing herself to him, even though he's a disgusting man who clearly doesn't know how to please her. You know, I also don't know if she's a virgin or not, but whatever. She mentioned some stuff about her father and whatever, you know, of his estate. You know, I think that's what it is for her. And I think she was willing to do a lot, which is why no one ever told her about the mushrooms at the end, which is very key. And that look at the end of the movie, the last shot, when they are, what are they doing at the end there?
They're sewing.
Stitching, right?
Stitching. Yeah, they're stitching up the, making a body bag, basically.
Yeah, body bag, yeah. And then Nicole Kidman, and she's staring off into the, right, Kirsten Dunst is staring off into the distance. Nicole Kidman is directing the kids how to stitch. And then Nicole Kidman tells her, or Miss Martha, tells Edwina to, hey, you know, help me supervise. Help her out with the stitching. And she doesn't answer at first. Then she looks back and then does it, but does it with the deadest face I've ever seen. Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, the whole time.
Resolved to come back to his life, and she's stuck again. Yeah. Like, she lost her chance. That's how I saw it. So those actions, as crazy as they were, and not good choices, that's what they were. And you know, Miss Martha was nearly a victim to the same thing. She almost fell for it. She almost kissed them back if they weren't interrupted, remember?
Yeah.
In that one scene, I forget where exactly in the movie it was. Before the leg broken, was it before?
It was
right, it was before.
It was before the leg broken, yeah.
And she almost kissed them. Like, she, I don't know what she wanted.
I think after their wine or their brandy.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's it. They had brandy together, right?
Yeah, they were talking. Yeah,
they had Brandon together. And then he went to go. She went to go, like, let him go or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they started making noise or something.
Right, something happened. So that's what I think about that.
See, I guess I didn't see the motive, or maybe it just fell away from me. I get what you're talking about, and it makes sense the way you're saying it. But I guess I didn't see it that she was like that desperately looking for an out. You can totally tell on her face that she's completely defeated at the very end of the movie.
Yeah,
as in like. Yeah, she does feel like she's completely stuck there.
It also shows that they all forgive her. Assuming that's what they think, too.
Right, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Girl power, but it's like teamwork.
Sure.
Working to help each other out. And I really love the scene, too, when Nicole Kidman's asking her to pick the mushrooms to that little girl and be quiet about it. The first time about tying the sign on the post,
yeah,
I was really worried that he was going to kill her.
Yeah, well, she told him to pick up walnuts, you know, act like you're going to pick walnuts up off the floor or whatever, and then go tie this thing, which that's a call sign for, like, there's somebody here, right?
Right. Yeah. Like the hobo code.
That's right.
Call back to Mad Men, actually, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's another movie, isn't it, like...
Oh, I'm sure. Maybe it's a real thing. It must have been a real thing.
Wasn't it in Cold Mountain, also?
Oh, wow. I thought that movie in ages. Yeah. Cold Mountain, huh? With Renee Zellweger. And Nicole Kidman. Yeah, Nicole Kidman, too.
Yeah. I think so. Oh, I forgot.
It's a good movie. That's a fun movie.
That is an interesting poll, all right? Yeah, but, I mean, you saying it like that, I just, maybe just didn't just...
No, right, for me. Sure. Because that was the hardest, I think, acting job in that movie.
Sure. I guess, like, her motivations weren't... Because I said, they bring it up once, and she never agrees to any of it. Mm-hmm. Right, so I guess maybe I just fell away from me.
Also, I went there also because I went to the trend of the movie where, like, when this guy comes into their lives, everyone changes, and I don't mean like in a way that's unbelievable. It's all believable. The girls are excited, the little ones are excited, they're curious.
Yeah,
I'm sure some of them are looking at him differently in different ways. The way he responds to them all, I'll talk about Colin Farrell. He's gonna be another subject,
dude. But Colin Farrell is fucking.
He kills it. This is a good movie for him.
No, he does kill it because I think he does. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think he totally does. Like, he's completely like charming everybody here at the same time,
but in different ways.
But in different ways,
and in ways that they are approaching to him,
right?
Oh yeah, and the way they're approaching him also says what they see about him.
I mean, the little girls almost look at his like uncle or father,
right? Exactly.
And he's
they
just
all
like,
want that. They need
go ahead,
it.
Champ. You did such a great job. You know,
right?
Oh yeah, exactly. They do need it, and I get it. I mean,
they project a lot on him.
And then same thing with the adolescent girl. She fucking woke up. Well, she was sleeping in the movie. That's a good thing in the movie.
Yeah.
It's a good like analogy or whatever.
Yeah. And there's that scene when she's doing manual labor, and you can tell that she's struggling and doesn't want to do it. She's only awake when he's around. Like she's like almost she's been hiding herself until this guy.
Exactly.
Comes
right. Yeah. Right. She's been saving all of her energy for somebody else
to fucking or to work herself up to
anything,
do something.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think I interrupted you.
No. You're good.
Okay.
You're good.
So I think that the reason they all changed, and I think the way Dwayne is acting, I think that was her changing, her version of it, her perspective.
Understood.
Nicole Kidman is the only harder one.
Well, Nicole Kidman is obviously the veteran.
She keeps that shit buried.
Right, she does. But at the same time, I mean, you show glimpses of being human, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone's perfect.
Yeah.
We don't know anybody's story here.
You can see her turning the wheels about turning him in.
That's a very interesting thing, though. It's like, yeah, you could totally see the wheels of her turning her him in. But at the same time, she wants to play the nice person, and she obviously sees like this very long-term thing for her where she wants to know that she did the right thing even at the very end of her life. And she wants the girls, she obviously teach the girls that same lesson.
Yeah.
That whatever happens here, we did the right thing. Even if it meant killing him. They did the right thing, and they should all feel proud and happy or fine that they did the right thing. They tried to do the right thing. He obviously was going to do something crazy, and it was their life or hers, and they decided to do it for themselves.
Yeah, I know this doesn't really truly matter, but maybe it does. What did you think of the way they were doing it? It has something to say that, you know, it's often said in the past, especially, poison is a woman's weapon. Do you think that's a part of what's going on?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking.
I don't know. I was really worried, though, that Kirsten's character was going to eat the mushrooms. They weren't going to stop it.
I'm glad they stopped her. That was also another sign of saying, like, they don't want her hurt, no matter what she's done. Assuming, again, that they think that she's doing something selfish.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that will hurt them. So, I don't know what to assume there. Right. But, yeah, very good. I'm so glad. Like, you don't even like mushrooms. She was just saying yes to him because she's, like, that scene says a lot to me.
Yeah.
Just the mushroom passing, you know, that part says a lot to me. So, Colin Farrell, the camera in the room, right? What do you think of his character? I mean, is he black and white for you? Is he evil? Or is he, what is he?
No, I think he's a guy who just wants, who is stuck behind enemy lines, so to say.
Yeah.
Which he is. And he's a guy, he's a rat. Let's look at it this way. He wants to live. He's in a corner right now, and he needs to do anything to live, right?
Yeah.
The difference is, besides him being a rat, he's actually a human, and he's using his human abilities to do it. So if it's him being charming, if it's him being whatever it needs to be to get out of there, he's going to do it.
As well as needing to snap and get a weapon and get someone to get the key
something,
for him.
Do something, yeah, right.
Alfani must have gotten the key. He got out of there.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah. The little girl opened it for him, remember?
Oh, I thought that she closed it again and locked it. Oh, no, you're right. That was two scenes, right? Two different parts. Yeah. You're right. My bad.
And, there's something there. He's trying to, I mean, he's very cautious at the same time, but at the same time, like, his motivations for me were always clear about, I need to get out of here as soon as possible. Alive. Like, I obviously avoided war, right?
Yeah.
Being in war as long as I could or whatever. In battle, should I say. And I need to get out of here as soon as possible because the longer I'm here, the more liable I'm to be caught or something's about to happen. And he tries his hardest to get out of there. But him being a man at the same time, it gets, like, the best of him.
Yeah, okay. I think you're right, definitely, for sure. 100% agree with that. I think he is... I mean, he's definitely not a good guy. But he is... He's kind of like snake type. But you're right. He is in a house of, ideally, enemies that only by the, you know, good Southern hospitality graciously is saving him remotely.
And Christian.
And I think in one hand, he is doing everything in his power to save himself. But at the same time, I do think there's a weird problem, or not dynamic, not duality, but weird thing where he is trying to stay there. Which... You know, he says many times to Nicole Kidman about the gardening, you need a man around the house, things like that.
Well, I honestly,
and I don't know if they're lies to get her to drop her guard down on him more.
Sure.
Or if that's something he actually wants to do because he sees an opportunity. Again, not necessarily to take advantage, but not to not also do that, you know, maybe to do that
right.
Also. So, very iffy, this guy.
Yeah, it's weird. I do agree with you there. I honestly feel like I said, he's trying to just, in the end, just let himself live. Somewhere.
I love how the fucking curtain goes down as soon as the whole leg, he wakes up and in pain.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man, that must be hard, waking up like that. And obviously, there's no anesthetic. Shit. You know? So I love that because, I mean, it was hard to watch, but I love it because it shows his, not his true face, but it does in a way, but it doesn't, you know, not only the way he fucks, which is terrible, but the way he overreacts to everything, his paranoia is sparked by his pride. His pride being that he thinks he's no longer a man because he can't walk anymore.
Yeah.
Which is not, it's understandable. I'm not saying that's how I feel. If I lose a leg, I wouldn't think myself less of a man, although I'll be less of a human. I get it.
Yeah.
But you know, but that's me, and that's me modern times today. I probably would not be saying that in his shoes then. You know.
Right.
And
well,
I saw that in his face, I'm saying. I saw that a lot.
No, you do see it in his face. Yeah. And you also, I mean, if you think about the times, the man would do just about everything, right?
Right.
He's the bread maker, he's the breadwinner, he's all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So he would have to theoretically go out to work. How do you go to work with no leg? What kind of job are you doing? Especially with what kind of job was he doing before the war? He was gardening. That needs to be out there walking properly, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that. So
you probably see himself, he can't even defend himself against these women right now.
Right.
Without the gun or without his manly. I mean, it's amazing how much power he was able to actually get and fear in them, put fear in them, considering he's one against seven. But those seven are individually weaker than him physically, despite the leg problem. And he has a gun, and he has a force. That's a terrible thing to have this man right. who is a force of nature in their house. It's that's the real gender problem here. The gender thesis, maybe, of the movie, which Sofia Coppola likes to put out too. You know, yeah, I really like Colin Farrell in this movie a lot. Anything else you want to say on him or any other part?
No.
Right, I'm with you. Job. We both agree. We liked the movie a lot. I loved it.
Yeah, it's some really powerful acting. Like I said, a lot of this is facial expressions going on in this movie, reactions, things that you need to pay attention to. It's one of those movies where if you're watching it at home, try not to have your phone on you because you need to watch things.
Oh yeah, definitely. I wish I saw it in theaters.
The whole movie is dialogue. Me too. The whole movie is dialogue. So you have to like. You feel like in those type of movies, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm just getting filled with expose because we're so used to just being filled with expose with dialogue and stuff, right? In movies, especially action movies. This is not an action movie. This is not that type of movie.
Yep.
You need to pay attention because everything matters, like slight things that you could miss out. So, yeah.
I agree. All right, so that's The Beguiled. We're going to take a quick break. As usual, when we come back, we'll talk about our second film, a Netflix, I'm not sure original, but I think it is an original film from them. That's the only release platform. One of their indie movies they bought this year called What Happened to Monday? Yeah, what happened? I mean, I was there. It happened. I don't know. Stay with us.
For three decades, the Child Allocation Bureau has combated catastrophic overpopulation.
This sibling will be processed under authority of the Child Allocation Act.
To build a sustainable future full of hope and possibility.
How do you plan on hiding this?
Starting tomorrow, you will each get to go outside on the day of the week that is your name. Sunday will get to go outside on Sunday, Monday on Monday, Tuesday on Tuesday, and so on. You will all take on the singular identity of Karen Settman.
Karen, do you have any siblings?
No.
In a strict one-child per family policy, a set of septuplets, women must hide then run from the authorities that try to subdue them. This is What Happened to Monday. Monday. Directed by Tommy Vercola. I don't know how foreign that name is. Written by Max Botkin and Kerry Williamson. Nice. And this movie stars, are you ready for this joke, Ralph? Noomi Rapace. No? Should I stop there? It also stars Glenn Close, Willem Dafoe, Marwan Kanzari, Christian Rubik, and the rest are kind of smaller names for sure. So, this is kind of shown as an action adventure film, which I would say barely qualifies as that. It does, I guess, overall, but
more adventure than action.
I honestly didn't expect that from the movie. I really didn't expect that kind of thing. But it's definitely science fiction. That's what I would call it more than anything, because it's set in a futuristic world where, like I said in the beginning of the intro here, it's a very strict one child per family, kind of like China did, you know, to solve their little population problem.
Yeah.
But they're doing it's worldwide, or at least America, and it's a way to stop, what is it they put in the intro of the movie, to stop, using too much of the world.
As resources, collapsing. Yeah, the resources.
Right, the resources. So, I think I asked you first last time.
Yep.
I'll go this time.
That's right.
Yeah, I did. So I think that this movie is filled with a better movie. I wish it was. I think there are turns and forks in the road that this movie chooses to go on that I think in the end are the wrong choices or the wrong ways to make this. Hell, the genre is wrong for me. From the potential of what this movie could have been, it could have been cool. Instead, it was more like, I don't know, The Giver or that, what's that other one? The Maze Runner or something. It felt more akin to that kind of movie. Even though there are aspects of the movie I did enjoy. I do not hate this movie, nor do I think it's even that bad. I just don't think it's that good either. And I think it could have been awesome otherwise. Those are my general thoughts. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't know the movie was going this way where it went. I kind of didn't. I thought we were going to get a just really kind of character delve, just super character.
Me too. That's all I wanted,
man. That's kind of what I wanted also. And then when I didn't get it, and it was like, oh, this is just an action movie, kind of ish. And I was like, oh, it's just kind of an escape movie. I really didn't think that was going to happen. I thought it was going to be like almost like a detective movie of where is this person?
Right.
The movie's almost the movie's almost misnamed.
Right. If anything,
but at the same time,
yeah,
I did like it. The movie was not bad. Like overall, even though I disliked where it went, because I thought the movie was leading me on to something else as well, and I kind of maybe I put my own thing into it. But at the same time, I would have preferred, like how you said it, to just go in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the movie overall. It does have a lot of kind of like cliched things going on in movies or in the plots that happens.
Yeah.
But some cool stuff does happen, and some cool stuff like how they resolve to the issue. It is interesting. Also, it also ties up everything, and it ties up not only the characters but like the movie world as well.
But I won't do the spoiling thing on it, but we'll talk. I want to talk about definitely Noomi Rapace, who made her bones. She got well known internationally for making the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Right, exactly. Which but, I really liked her in, by the way.
Yeah, I still kind of think that's her best movie, or set of movies. She did the trilogy, but the one from Sweden, right?
The good one.
The good one, the original, the one that did all three books, not the American one, just did the first book. Which I don't like. I like that movie too, by the way. I think they're both very different, but very good, I think. Anyway.
Sure.
So I liked her a lot in that movie. But besides that, she's done, her career in the Americas has been up and down, in my opinion. Like Prometheus, she was pretty good in. She had a really good scene. Like she portrays, fear really well, and then comeback and revenge kind of really well in that movie. But other movies that I'm kind of forgetting at this very moment, sorry about that. I don't think she does. I mean, she's okay. She's like just okay in The Drop. I remember The Drop. She was okay in that movie. In Sherlock Holmes, the sequel one, just okay. Also, I don't think she was anything particularly good. She was in Child 44. That was a good role. I remember that movie. So that's just some of them that I can think of. So, well, did you think that she had the bones and managed to carry the weight of seven characters, Ralph?
Well, it's almost like five characters.
All right, yeah.
That did feel like, well, let's just say, like split.
Let's round up here.
So. Yeah, let's round up.
Let's just say seven.
Yeah, but it's like split where he's got like 30 personalities, right? But in reality, there's...
Should we compare them? And that's two movies in 1 year, one character.
Right, exactly. But at the same time, there's only six that are really strong. And in this one, there's like five that are really strong, and for me anyways, right?
Oh, you mean in acting, or are you talking about screen time?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
And then, yeah, like Monday is non-existent, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So let's go with that one. And then when she is, there's very little. So, and then you feel like you get the Saturday, I felt like was kind of just like there as a filler role in the movie. But overall, I think she did a pretty good job of having different things. Like, I liked it when they were in the table discussing their debriefing.
Oh, yeah, God.
That was actually pretty cool. I like that. So I think she managed to pull it off. I actually like her as an actress.
I like how detailed they were on their daily thing. Like, they were really peculiar and, you know, dead on the wigs, looking exactly alike when they get out the door. Things like that. There's some flashbacks in the movie, not throughout the movie, but let's say in the first half. There's some flashbacks of how they managed to survive this long in this world where basically having a sibling is as rare as finding the lost city of Z. I just thought of that. I don't know why. You know, it's really rare. It's actually illegal. If you have a sibling, basically one of you two should not be existing.
Right.
So, oh my God, so many problems with the world of this movie. I don't have a problem with the characters.
No, same.
Just the world sucks. It's really badly thought of and realized, in my opinion, like really badly.
Especially. Well, I think they had a good idea going on, and it's kind of strong with the siblings and what they had to do with them and how the world had to do. But after that, it's just like...
Right. So I don't want to skip around too much, but I want to say that Noomi Rapace, I don't think she has the chops to portray seven different characters on screen good enough for me. She did an okay job, though, at it. And there were moments of like, really good, pretty good acting going on. Particularly with the one with the pink hair. And then the fighter one that makes it last. She has more screen time, let's say. And then there's the geeky one that I liked. You know, I can like them. But the point is that I don't think that she was able to... These people weren't people as much as they were, like... characteristics. They were walking characteristics.
Yeah,
that's more true. Than seven different people.
Right, know? Exactly.
So,
although a couple of them did feel different in comparison, like way different.
Oh yeah, totally.
So, but overall, and I don't know, the movie can be defended by saying that they all portray Karen's sentiment, right?
Oh yeah.
So in the end, they all are technically one person. Like, if you want to look at it that way, even though they all are different.
Yeah, I'm glad the movie didn't say, like, you know what a cheesier version of this would have been? If one of them had love, one of them had hate, one of them had, you know, seven, like...
Fuck that.
And so also... Stupid. Right, that would have been really bad.
Fat, she's not allowed to go out.
And also, if I was Willem Dafoe, I would have named that after the seven deadly sins. Come on, how do you fuck that up?
Yeah.
Okay, nah, obviously the weak is better. Yeah. Obviously, yeah. But come on.
Yeah.
How do you resist that urge?
Right.
Right, they're babies. Name them Wrath and Gluttony,
right?
And stuff. Anyway, so that's my thoughts on Noomi Rapace's work. And it, what do you think of the flashbacks?
I like those flashbacks.
Willem Dafoe and shit.
Yeah, the flashbacks are cool, especially that fucking crazy one with the
finger.
With the finger.
Man, that was something. I'm glad that there's a. I won't spoil it, but there's a specific callback to that scene that worked out better than I thought it was going to be. I really thought it was just a flashback. I didn't think it would work out in the way it did.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, like I said, this world is very harsh on siblings, so Willem Dafoe, who plays an actual non-creepy character for once.
For once.
Like, non-threatening character.
But he still looks threatening.
A little bit, he does. Man, yeah. That guy, his face
is... I love you so much, but I can't
kill you. His face is made to be a villain.
Right.
Like, and his voice, too.
And that's why I love him. I like him so much in Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
So well.
And also, like, what's that David Lynch movie he was in?
Yes.
With Nicolas Cage. Fuck. Someone's yelling at the fucking iPad right now. Okay, doesn't matter. That movie. Watch it. So, yeah. I liked them overall. I did. And like I said, back then, first half of the movie, I had the most hope about the movie until later on.
Sure.
And then I have another big problem. Let's talk about the world building here. I hated the beginning. Hated it. The intro. Do you remember the intro? where they describe the world that we're in for like 2 minutes or 5 minutes, where they're like, the world is this, and you know, the law is made, and only one sibling and shit.
Yeah.
And it's about the resource, it's about nature, it's about climate change. Everyone's got to watch out. It's a big watch out world. This is a lesson for you, kind of dystopia type thing.
Okay, yeah. Right? Is that why you hated it?
Oh, because it's like very common, like because it's a good famous topic right now. No, it's not why I hate it.
Okay.
But do you like it or not? What do you think?
I liked one thing about it, which was I don't mind it overall. I don't hate or love it, but at the same time I did like one thing, which is like the crops, right? That they had to, like, science was going to save us, right, with the crops.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it ended up making even more children because of the birth defects or whatever. Not birth defects, but just it gave people, like, more chances of having twins and what to call the
Did they mention it? I think I missed that part, little part.
Yeah, there was, like,
it was all fast-paced.
Yeah, because of that, people were having more kids, like, easier or something like that. It was crazy. Something.
I did miss that part. Okay. Yeah. But, well, either way, it's funny because that's the last thing they want. Right. So, here's why I hate that, Ralph. I mean, it's...
Is it lazy? Is that why?
It's very lazy. It's so fucking lazy.
But what else do you need? Like, what do you, just want to just drop into the world instead?
Well, I think there's two things. If you take that out completely, there's two things you gain that makes the movie better. And I hate saying that kind of thing because it feels like, well, why aren't you making movies? But whatever, I'm just going to say it.
Sure.
I think you leave a bit of mystery. Like, you get to figure out the world as these people are already living in it. Like, the way that they're hiding, why do they have to hide, you know? Especially the flashbacks. The flashbacks say a lot about this world that the intro already said.
Yeah,
you don't need to know why the climate... that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess with the flashbacks, it makes sense.
Right.
I would agree with you there.
I think discovering the world with these girls is better than the fucking movie telling me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, come on, I'm trying to watch a movie here.
Or I guess if they just made it obvious that there was, like, only one sibling per, like, somewhere. Like, you saw, like, a sign more often or something, like, only one sibling allowed.
In Children of Men, you know, like, it's illegal to not check your fertilization thing because they're trying to make more babies, right?
Right, exactly.
It's illegal not to check.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That had signs everywhere. That movie said it all without telling you shit.
Yeah. No, I get it. I do agree with you. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I get how it would have worked. But at the same time, like, you know, they were just trying to, like, let's dump you in here.
Well, I know that. I think we're also very used to this kind of approach.
Sure.
I still don't like them, though. It's still not a good idea ever.
Right.
Just because we're used to it, I mean, doesn't mean we should tolerate it. So I hated that. Which goes into some of the problems I'm going to have in the spoiler session for the world building and the sci-fi stuff. So let's get into that now, unless you have something else you want to say before.
No, we might as well get into it because I want to spoil it.
All right, spoilers for What Happened to Monday starting right now.
Step out. That's the last one.
Glenn Close kills them all. Fucking Glenn Close, man.
Every time.
Fucking Cruella de Vil.
That's the go-to movie for her. Not Fatal Attraction?
No, because in Cruella de Vil, she wanted to kill all the dogs.
Fatal Attraction, she was scarier, and she wanted to kill people.
Is she fatally attracted?
I mean, it's funny. I've never seen Glenn Close as attractive because she's always been really fucking old.
Same here.
That's supposed to be wrong. But because I've seen her older movies too, right?
Sure.
Like Fatal Attraction. But even in that movie, like, you're still kind of old.
Kind
of Glenn Close-y. Right. You know, so sorry, Glenn Close. I mean, she's great though. I love her. I do. Not in this movie though.
Yeah, no.
No.
Definitely.
She was just as useful. As a big time good actress, I mean.
They should have put that. What's that one girl's name? Oh, man, I can't think of her name. Tilda Swinton. I should put Tilda Swinton in that role.
She makes any role awesome, doesn't she?
Yeah. Well, she plays that role well.
Yeah, the corporate corporate slob
exactly.
Asshole.
Right.
No, I think that she Glenn Close was just as useful in this movie and put to good use as much as Meryl Streep was in The Giver, which means none at all.
Yeah, no,
sure. Like, she's the boss of all this stuff, and I could give a shit less. They're not giving enough room to.
So did you like call that the fact that she was killing them all, like immediately?
Oh, yeah.
Like I didn't even hesitate.
They showed the commercial twice about like you're gonna be asleep for a better whatever.
Cryogenic. I was like, no fucking way. No. You're bonkers.
What I really hated when I realized this was going to happen, and I realized this before it actually showed it to us,
yeah.
that they were going to go with. So, so many problems, man. The reason they don't kill these girls is because they don't want the exposure to leak out that these siblings managed to
live
so long in the heart of this capital and getting away with it.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I buy that. Press. Usually a good reason people stop,
yeah,
you know,
people
stop killing their hookers or something, you know, or right. whatever, because that's, you know, a lot of bad shit happens and they don't want that shit revealed. And then it goes deeper, like, oh no, this movie has to be the catalyst of bringing everything down. Like, no, you don't have to change the world. Just make it about these fucking seven people that keep dying off every two scenes, which was the interesting part. That's the only part I really liked. When the first one died, I'm like,
how
oh
they died?
Shit. And then how they died.
Yeah, that's pretty
is that pretty cool. gruesomely? They all have the,
oh,
little,
dude,
the little endings
when,
too?
When the fighter chick dies, oh, that's fucking killer.
That was killer.
She made it. She almost made it. And she fucking gets shot in midair.
Yeah.
That's fucking that was probably one of the worst deaths.
That was, no, for me, that was the, her and the pink-haired girl. Pink-haired girl.
The white-haired girl, you mean?
The one that portrayed herself to be like a slut, but she never had sex.
Yeah. Pink-dressed. She had like blonde hair.
Was it blonde?
Yeah.
Man, I really thought it was pink.
She had like shit.
Like, yeah. I could have carried that to my deathbed. I just saw the movie.
my deathbed?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my bad. Blonde.
She would bring a pink top, I think. That's why.
It was pink something.
Whatever.
Anyway, so, and she had sex for the first time.
That was a good one also.
That was a good one. He starts choking her.
He's like, oh, no.
Like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I thought that's how you liked it. Like, and he's like, fucking Monday.
Fucking Monday, right? Exactly.
That was good. See, some of that's put to play for laughs, and
right,
I mean, I guess it worked.
No,
because,
like, some of the stuff works,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely another cool movie in this movie. Without saying it any weirder.
So you made me spill my beer almost.
Yeah.
Well, and but as I was saying before, is that these deaths, I mean, just, why can't it just be about them?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. They wrap up the world as well as they wrap up the story.
I almost thought that if it wasn't about the changing of this world, meaning the law about this, if it wasn't for that,
like, I honestly,
I really thought the movie was gonna be like they end up killing all but one, and that last one gets to be Karen Settman. Like, okay, now we're good.
Right.
I thought it was gonna be that kind of cynical, kind of like,
yeah,
okay,
actually,
shit, that's kind of dark.
That was gonna be
and she has to live the burden of all her six sisters.
Right. Exactly. Well, I thought that was gonna be the same thing. Or honestly, I thought it was just gonna be like they end the movie with them saying like, yeah, they tried to keep it, whatever.
Oh, I thought they were going to broadcast it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
Other right.
than that, they went too far.
I always thought the hacker girl was going to send them one last file of, like, I don't know, a bunch of videos of them being in the house.
Yeah,
and then you show
I
them
actually
to
thought
the
they were
going to
release. I honestly thought
something.
That they were going to release that of, like, hey, we can live with siblings. We've done it.
Or let's say they do that and they get. I mean, this is fucked up. This is kind of dark. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
So they let the press know about this whole thing. It shuts down Glenn Close's character, not the law, but it shuts her down, and it shows the world that these people managed to live this long and got away with it, and they all stoned them all in the fucking town square. So it's still illegal,
right? Well, I guess.
And
by
no
that,
one else can have a sibling
by that time. Most of them are dead. But yeah.
Yes, by the time at least three fell. Four
right.
Fell. Yeah, that ending sucked. What do you think of the twist of Monday?
Right. What do you think of Monday's twist? I thought it was, I could totally see it. I mean, it made kind of sense where she obviously carried the most burden out of everybody.
Yeah.
She put in the most work, or it felt like she put in the most work. It looked like Friday put in a lot of work also, I think it was, or Saturday, or which one?
Yeah, because it talks about, like, how can you be good at everything? You
right,
know?
Exactly.
So, I like how they all have a day to whatever they want to do.
It's pretty cool. Right. Well,
there's a bartender that knows one of them a lot more than the rest.
Right.
Know,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I like I said, the idea is cool. The concept is cool, but meh. It does fall short. But I like it. And yeah, I still didn't hate the movie.
No, I don't hate it either. I would recommend it as a popcorn film.
Yeah.
That isn't in theaters. It's weird. Netflix is weird.
Yeah.
They got to fix this problem. Because they're not announcing these movies. You know, they have three others that I heard are really good, but no one's talking.
I get that they have a built-in trailer there, but honestly, that not announcing a movies, man, is killer.
It's like, so bad.
Just make a fucking commercial about it. Or, I get you saving a ton of money.
Amazon releases their movies in theaters too before.
Well, not Netflix every movie, though.
No, but the good ones are.
Right.
And I'm not saying this is like on par for that, but
sure,
there was a couple weeks in the summer where we could have used this movie in theaters.
Yeah, for, you know, probably.
A couple of movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're fucking up, in my opinion, because these movies are good, too.
Or, you know, do advertising somewhere else, but maybe not on TV or something, but advertising.
I don't know when. They got this.
Yeah, it's hard. It is weird.
Amazon has a whole... I mean, they have a mall online that they can advertise their shit.
Right, exactly.
So that's different. Right. And obviously, they're in competition, so they can't share that, but whatever.
Well, you never know.
But yeah, I mean, they should. It's like...
Amazon will never do it,
It's like Spider-Man joining with Sony and Marvel, right?
Right.
I kind of wish we saw more Willem Dafoe, or like how he died or fell. No mention of that.
Yeah, no mention of that. No mention of, like, did he die just of old age? Like,
right, I want to see that. I mean, how important is this guy to them or not?
Right, exactly.
I mean, I felt like his flashbacks were just for exposition, not for any real characteristics or personality or a good reason or drama even or conflict. It wasn't for any of that. It was just to show us the finger thing or that these girls exist. Not that they haven't.
Right. So, well, she was their mentor and everything. And
Yeah. It was his daughter that had them, right? Is that what it was?
It was his daughter who had them. And yeah. So he was her grandfather.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. I
have nothing else to say.
Me either. I'm kind of done. I think the next review is going to be even shorter because action movies tend to be that way.
Yeah.
So that's it for What Happened to Monday. We now know what happened to Monday. Did we actually talk about the twist? Did we like that? Yeah. No, wait, we talked about it. I don't remember if we did. Doesn't matter. Just how much we don't care. No, it's just how much that's unimportant. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our highlight review of the evening, which is Kingsman: The Golden Circle. Stay with us.
Being a Kingsman is more than the clothing we wear or the weapons we bear. It's about being willing to sacrifice for the greater good. I hope you're ready for what comes next.
End is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear.
The Kingsman elite must unite with their American counterparts to save the lives of millions of people held hostage by a psychopath drug dealer. And she prefers robots over humans. Let's see, this is a review for Kingsman, The Golden Circle. The circle be golden. Spoiler-free thoughts, first of all. I will start off here. I guess I picked the movies.
So, I guess you did this movie,
which I should say, I didn't even say it. Directed by Matthew Vaughn.
Same guy who did the first one.
Same guy who did the first one, but he also did that movie with the X-Men First Class.
Oh, yes.
I believe that was him. He did Kick-Ass. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are his main ones, I guess. Stardust he did also, which I don't think I've seen that one. Anyway, and it stars Taron Egerton, Colin Firth, Mark Strong, Edward Holcroft, Channing Tatum, Gordon Alexander, and then there's a bunch of other, Hannah Alstrom plays his girlfriend. And then the rest are, like, big players, give or take. Julianne Moore's in this, too, by the way. Okay, so...
Is that the big player you were talking about?
Yeah, I guess so. I said bit players.
Oh, okay. I thought you said big.
No.
Players.
Well, you know, some of them are like character. Like, I know that Jeff Bridges is in it, but like three scenes, right? Some
four?
Maybe. So, The Kingsman Golden Circle. So, this is a interesting movie because this movie, like the first one, was a wild success. I don't think people expected it to be. Did you expect that to be a big success?
No.
Right?
No, I guess
but we're
not.
Fans of it, right?
Yeah.
Wait, how big a fan are you? Have you seen it more than once since then?
I have. I've seen it at least two times.
Okay, wow. I've only seen it the once.
Oh, the once?
Yeah, I never really had the... I mean, I'll rewatch it maybe one day, but like I don't think... It's like super ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
like, I know that's the style, so I don't blame the movie necessarily, but right. It's not exactly my style. when I seek out action movies. It had a weird amount of controversy in that movie when that first one came out. I don't know about this one. But
what was the controversy in that one?
The misogyny.
Oh, the misogyny, yeah.
Of the movie, yeah. Particularly at the towards the end when he finds the Swedish princess in the jail cell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, if you save me, I will let you do it in the butt.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the part that a lot of people got like pissed off about. I'm like, I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was kind of crass, but the whole movie's crass.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so I don't really, it didn't bother me. But I'm not a girl either, so. So, Kingsman: The Golden Circle. What did I think? I think it's basically like the first movie, except that it doesn't have the, you know, the fact that it's not the first. The first one always is, the first cut is the deepest, so gives you the most impact. I don't think they build up on the first one.
They almost start from scratch, actually.
I see what you mean. I guess they do in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't build up on anything interesting or a unique twist on anything, or they...
Right. Well, I think the gimme in the first one is, we're following Eggsy, right? Which we're still following Eggsy in this movie. But what I'm saying is that we follow Eggsy as in, like, his struggles to become a Kingsman, and the trials and all that stuff. And then, we hopefully learn to love it or not learn to love it, but we kind of love him for it or whatever, get used to him, get attached to him. And then we see him succeed in a mission, right? That he's not even a Kingsman yet, technically, or whatever.
Right.
That's the part one, right? Which I liked. Which is total spoilers, by the way. And then
We're gonna spoil any other thing.
Sure.
We're not gonna spoil this movie yet.
Right. And then part two, though, it's like he's just there. He's already established, and it almost feels like they kind of want to put him in the same spot where like he has to be reestablished in a weird way. But yeah, I don't know. There's something that falls short for sure. For me, anyways. I don't know if it's sequelitis. But yeah, it does fall short.
Yes. I don't think... see, the funny thing is that I can't really blame... I mean, I do blame the movie because I think I think a sequel should only exist if you have something better or more to say that you couldn't get to in the first one, right? And this movie doesn't have that. So I guess by that definition, it's a really bad sequel.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like,
but
they're trying to be like James Bondish also in that
Well,
aspect.
That's the thing is that they're James Bond, but they're more like cartoon versions of them.
Yeah, for sure. But they're trying to be James Bondish in where like it's a mission and this is just happening and we're just capturing their snapshot of their mission, right? Or whatever happened in between of all of this stuff, right? But at the same time, it's not. They do like a pseudo thing of that and then it's a cartoonish version of all of that. So it's still a sequel in comparison to like... Whatever. What's the very first James Bond movie?
Doctor Number.
Doctor No.
Doctor No. Yeah, I know.
And then it's right. And then after that, it's what?
From Russia with Love.
There you go. So like, but they're not like. Those are strictly their own thing. Yes, there's a tie into them, right? Overall,
the agent.
Right, the agent. But no, overall, later on, like you find out that there's like.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's clearly sequel stuff here.
Right, exactly.
That princess he meets in the first movie, he is the girlfriend, that's his girlfriend.
Right, right. That's the problem with this. Like, this, they wanted to have both of them in this movie,
mm-hmm.
in Kingsman, in comparison to, like, James Bond.
No, I see.
Or their standalone movies.
I mean, do you think that we need this gap filled, this James Bond gap?
I like it. I enjoy it. Do I need it filled? Yeah, I guess. Name me another good action movie that's around that area. That's around there. That's similar things to that.
I'm sure there are a lot. And, Mission Impossible, right?
Well, it's in a gap in between that, too.
What's the gap in between that?
The Kingsman. There's no James Bond movie this year. Or James Bond, Mission Impossible.
Oh, I see. I see what you mean. You mean, per year you want something
I'm
like
just
this?
Saying, if there was, why not? They do...
And then they all
they
come
do,
out.
Superhero movies every year.
Well, I mean, I know that that's a different subject.
That's
matter.
A different subject.
I think that's
it is. I agree.
The idea is that the intrigue is supposed to be that if you like action, if you like cool gadgets that are clearly impossible to make or inefficient to even practically use, conceptually, like if you like that stuff and if you like, I don't think there's a lot of one-liners per se, but there's a lot of like raunchy material. And that's not like, I don't know. It's not like a comedy like that. It's not rated R comedy, but it is rated R. And they take their comedy chops, like whatever they are. It's just very Like, it did just double down on the gruesomeness or the weirdness. Like, for example, you'll see a scene where a guy would be grinded up and turned into a hamburger and forced to be eaten by somebody else. Like, okay, this movie is suddenly now making fun of cannibalism.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, but at the same time, you'll have something really goofy, like, you know, a 1950s town setting in the middle of the jungle, you know, for no reason.
Right.
Like, things like that. They just create, like, I don't want to say character. It's exactly the term for this movie. Like, it's not creating a character to the movie. It's more like creating just color to it, you know?
Sure. I do appreciate that there is, like, this weird time in the movie where you get, what's it called? You kind of get a quick snapshot of, like, he's obviously done other missions since then, Eggsy, right?
Two others, right?
Yeah, two or three others or whatever, right? And then this is obviously, but this is like, it's an actual world-ending kind of thing, or world-affecting mission, or more world-affecting than the others, maybe. I don't know how it works. But, I do like how it's interesting how the first one was kind of global domination or, you know, cutting out the weak. And then say kind of the same thing with this one, almost very similar.
Right. Well, there is a political commentary style side to this movie.
That's right.
That lays it both really thick and also it's not a big part of the movie. So it's like both those things at once.
Right.
But besides that, what did you think of the action itself? Like, we start off right away with this whole thing about the cab chase sequence, right? And then when the arm takes the code that they need, and then they blow up all the buildings. So there's that, and then there's, you know, a lot of action after that. So what did you think of it? Especially if...
Sorry, Dieter.
That's fine. That's why I killed it. As you think of the answer, I also think about, like, did any of it, like... I know it's all impossible. It's all suspension of disbelief, right? Sure. But did any of it even cross that? Like, even cross the ridiculousness of even seeing an action scene? Anything cross the line for you?
No, nothing too ridiculous, at least in the beginning. Okay. Why did something cross the line for you?
Yeah, in the snow area.
But she said the beginning of the movie.
No, I was like...
Oh, you're talking about in general?
Like the beginning.
Oh, like the beginning. No, I thought you meant the beginning of the movie.
No.
Okay, yeah. No, I mean, anyway. Yeah, I mean, some things do feel... I mean, it did feel very convenient or very movie-esque. That you can just get out of jail free card or whatever with certain things, like an explosive that adhesives everybody or something.
I half expected him to, like, accidentally being driven off, like, a cliff, and the road's still invisible. Like, he's still riding in the middle of nowhere, and then he only falls when he realizes that he is...
Very cartoonish?
Yes. I expected that.
Right.
A little bit.
I guess I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, that snow thing. Then when they're in the cart and they're spinning
right.
like crazy right. and then they fall and they swing around. I'm like, okay, come on. They're dead. they're minced meat in there. That's not how it works.
Minced meat.
You know, it was ridiculous. They were a pound of hamburger in there. They should have been.
Yeah. I guess.
I really do like their umbrellas though.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
No, they have, I like the technology, how it's also just like very... Very offhanded there. There's nothing like, and this is what you're like in 007. There's a very like, and your car does this fancy thing,
yeah.
right? And then your watch obviously controls your car because, you know, that's the obvious thing it does. On top of it's a detonator, on top of it's a, you know, whatever. But in this movie, it's just like, we don't need to tell you that. It just shit happens. This your watch does a bunch of different things. Your eyeglasses do a bunch of different things, you know?
Yeah. You're right. And what did you think? Of the so one good thing that this movie does, I guess, is that it expands the world.
Yes,
right. It goes to America, the United States. It shows a statesman. What did you think of that whole angle?
I thought it was cool. I also thought that what was the point of having Channing Tatum as an actor in there?
Clearly he was like a really big character because he was in the movie. Did that really cool scene where he took out the main two characters. Well, I should say Mark Strong and then Eggsy, right? He by himself.
Yeah.
So that was cool, and it was a pretty cool scene. Actually, it might be my favorite hand-to-hand scene.
Of the movie, yes.
How he used the shotgun to subdue them instead of using the shotgun to shoot them.
Yes.
That was really cool. I liked that a lot. And he uses his own watch against them or whatever.
Right, yeah, that was pretty cool, too.
I like that, yeah. So, yeah, that was my favorite hand-to-hand scene. And It's a great introduction to the character. I thought we were going to see a lot more, and then no, it ended up being
it's really weird. It just felt like really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I don't know if like the
but,
movie
you know,
was...
he likes it dangerous. He's like the exe of their group.
Right.
That's why he's like, that's the way they played him.
Yeah. I mean, what are they going to do? Kingsman, the Statesman, or Statesman, and then own movies, standalone movies?
What would be a good third one?
I don't know.
China?
I guess.
The Dragon?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Might be too flippant. I'm trying to think of another, because clearly it's the first world, there's the first world countries that can have these abilities, right? These have these branches.
Right.
And secret agencies. So if they want to keep expanding, I can only think of China and then Russia.
Right.
And that's it.
I mean, unless we talk about, yeah, I guess. I can't think of anything else.
Maybe
something
another.
Similar.
Maybe another.
But
European.
I do like how there was their doomsday protocol.
Yeah, yeah. That was very strange. Yeah. Very cool.
I still feel like we're not spoiling anything because this is all in the trailers where shit blows up everywhere.
Yeah, they see. I mean, you see everyone dying except for him. But let's get into spoilers for a hell of it just so we can be free to talk about it. There's not much to spoil necessarily. We'll spoil it.
No, we'll get to it, I guess.
But, like, it's not a huge
deal. I have a big spoiler, so go ahead.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah, yeah. In that case, then all the more reason to make one.
Yep.
So, spoilers starting now.
I saw in you what someone once saw in...
Golden Circle proudly presents.
My name is Poppy Adams, CEO of the Golden Circle. We engage in an aggressive business strategy, invest in the latest technology, and take strict disciplinary action. I'm speaking to you today because our world leaders have let us all down. So we are coming out of the shadows and taking over. And to make sure no one gets in our way.
Kingsman and Crumpets.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now. So cool. What's your big thing then? You say you have a big spoiler?
The biggest cameo ever.
Remind me.
Huh?
Remind me.
Who gets kidnapped? Was meant to play.
Oh, that's not a cameo. He's in it like he fucking is destroying fools.
So, I thought it was funny.
So, what's his name? I forgot his name. Elton John.
Yes,
is in this movie, guys.
Right, exactly.
And when he started kicking ass,
yeah.
Remember when they were on the rescue him, and he's like in midair with that kick.
Yeah.
I'm like, are we gonna find out that he's actually secretly a Kingsman?
Right.
And no, they never went with anything. They were just him. They were just being funny. So what was that? I mean, did you like that at all? I mean, did you think that was wasted amount of minutes?
I felt like it was... I felt like they needed to top themselves. That was actually a big problem with the movie for me, where they felt
so you
like...
you do think it was not necessary?
No, it was not necessary at all. But I felt like they needed to top themselves because of the fact that in part one, where he's like, I'll do butt stuff if you save me. He's like, well, then let me go save the world. Right?
Right.
And it felt like this thing is the same thing. Not butt stuff or anything, but it was just like... hey, like, we're going to throw a big person in here, and he really wants out or whatever. And they're, you know, like, oh, yeah, like, it's a more of a thing for me to, you know, another catch, another extra thing for them to do something for a reason. You know?
I think, I just think if they spent that time to flesh out more of Julianne Moore, I would like the movie another a lot better.
I would have loved a little backstory on Julianne Moore. We get it instead in dialogue where...
anything where backstory is told only in dialogue, it's not a good sign.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I did like Julianne Moore, and I guess I could have... try to tell us what her motivations was, which she's just, like, really fucking bored.
In one scene, she's describing she wants to be famous, and that's really the only reason.
Right. It's a mix of that and, like, she just wants to be known, I think, right? For being...
same thing. Yeah.
Right.
For, like, being known for being, like, a really successful businesswoman.
Right, exactly.
In a world that doesn't even know she exists.
Exactly. That's the trick to that, yeah.
Right. So let's get into, I guess we could just... I mean, before we go into that, actually... on the villain side, I did like her town. I really digged it.
Same.
I'm like, okay. I mean, 50s, sure, not my decade, but I would have. That's cool.
Also, missed opportunity for me with she preferred robots, but she still had agents everywhere, right? Like, or humans.
Yeah.
But she preferred robots, but she only has two mechanical dogs. That's it. And a person and a robot that tattoos people.
Right, and a robot that tattoos people. I think she was just starting to like get into the robot
maybe.
Business.
I mean, that's pretty cool if that's the case, but they didn't mention that, and it felt like she was already like into it. Like already established.
Right. No, not well established. I'm just guessing on that one. So I did wish we had more on that. I'm on her. Julia Moore was kind of fun. You could tell that everyone's having fun in the movie. So
yeah, you could tell for sure.
I guess that's cool. But I just wish we had more about it. But I really liked her, the social commentary of it, because she wants, I mean, for a bad reason, but I think it's a good thing, but she wants to legalize in the movie. She wants to legalize all drugs.
Right.
And she's forcing the president of the United States to sign something, a bill that says that all drugs are legal now.
Well, everybody in the world, but yeah.
But he's like the initial person. Like, sure. Without him, the countries won't follow him. And if he does that, then the drugs the millions of people that have been affected by this drug, which is the whole point of the movie, the mission, is she'll either give the antidote if he signs or lets him die if he doesn't. And the great thing about that, and my favorite scene, which is also, not my favorite scene, but like one of my favorite scenes, that is also one of my least favorite scenes, is when the president like decides, and he's like, you know, we win, there's like two birds with one stone with this, and he decides, like, he doubles down on the war on drugs by saying, like, not only do we get to look like good guys trying here, but, and we don't, you know, and, but we also get to destroy all the criminals that are currently using drugs.
Right.
And I'm like, that's fucked up on so many levels. Obviously, the movie's playing to that. The president is as ridiculous as our current one.
Yeah. The movie plays to it. I think the movie does a good job in the beginning, and then after that, it just gets too comical. Yeah. Right, like, whoa, like he does like dumb shit, and they're trying to. I'm pretty sure the movie's trying to portray our current president.
I don't think they have to try very hard.
Right, what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I see what you mean, and I can understand that point of view. I would say that the more goofier it got on that angle, like I liked it more because it's a stupid subject that has a really easy answer that nobody wants to, you know, because people are afraid to just admit the fucking defeat that people are going to be taking drugs, and if you don't know how to control it, people will always be breaking that law.
Right,
it's stupid to think that they're actually criminals.
Right, right.
And we should be focusing. Okay, I'm not going to get political here. But the point is that the movie's right and it's making fun of it, that it has to make fun of it in order for you to get it.
Sure, yeah, no,
so
I get it.
I like that about it. But otherwise, the action and other scenes, I guess, if we're into spoilers, I'm not, you know, other than the Channing Tatum initial scene, the first one I liked.
Well, I mean, what did you think of the ridiculousness of the, what's the main guy?
With the arm? Oh, Whiskey. Oh, with the lasso?
Yeah, no, with the whole, like, when he goes, he's like, I didn't need backup at all. Thanks, guys. And he just kills everybody.
Oh, in the background?
Yeah, in the background.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. I think for a punchline, that doesn't really work. I think he would have been more pissed off had he, well, he did betray them, I guess, so it's not a big deal. What I didn't like is the whole Etsy not believing the eye patch dude at first. I know that it makes sense because he's worried that he just woke up from this coma or this amnesia thing. So he may not be 100% yet, and he might have shot him for no good reason.
Right.
By the way, talk about, like, bullet to the head no longer counts as a definite kill anymore.
Right.
You could just bust out that strip of whatever.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, so I didn't like that whole angle because, I mean, it's so obvious. No one's fooling the audience. The only one being fooled is Etsy or Eggsy or whatever.
Eggsy, yeah.
So I think that that's a mistake because we're supposed to follow him, and I think we weren't with him. We weren't second guessing Colin Firth. You know, two Collins on this show today.
Sure.
So, you know, so I didn't like that part. What else? But the rest of the action scenes themselves, I think they're okay. Nothing. I mean, didn't the first one did great action stuff? I mean, I know Matthew Vaughn is no slouch. He can do action.
Sure. No, I think the first one just the fact
that church scene was really cool.
Right, exactly. The church scene is really cool. But I think also like the trials of like the whole water thing and then, you know, just trying to do different things for missions, like with the whole parachute thing as well.
Right. Like, those I do like when they're trying to drown Colin Firth.
Right, exactly. They're not super action scenes or they're not crazy, these crazy things, but at the same time,
it's cool visuals.
Right, exactly. That's what they are. Right. And that's what the first movie did really well. There is some cool also like the very end of the first movie where all the heads are popping. That's a visual.
That was really nice.
Right, exactly.
And they even do a flashback to that.
So. Right, exactly. Yeah.
I wonder if I have to pay Samuel L. Jackson.
Again?
For showing him twice in like 1 second flashes.
Maybe. You never know.
I think that's how contracts work. I'm not sure.
It could be.
Anyway. I did like when Colin first fighting the robot dogs. That was kind of fun. The first one, and then it got tedious when he was fighting the second one, too.
Right.
But okay, sure. Golden dog, that's cool. And then the rest was fine. I mean, the ending I didn't care. Like by the time they got to they did the last big action sequence where Exy fights the old cadet guy and Colin Firth fighting the dogs. After that, I didn't care how it resolved anymore.
Right, yeah, the very...
I knew he was going to get married at the end.
Right.
So. I also think that the only reason the titled the movie's titled Golden Circle is so they're going to have two golden rings that, you know, to signify Exy's marriage at the end.
Maybe.
Because there's no other reason why it's called that, but it's so clearly two golden circles that they close up on as they're getting married. I'm like, is that the reason this movie's called Golden Circle? Because that's a shitty-ass reason. I'm sorry.
Although I did like that tattoo.
That's not a tattoo. That's insanity.
Or branding.
I mean,
branding.
It's crazy. Branding? It's branding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well just. I think there's an easier way to do that. By the way.
Yeah, probably.
Like little branding, like a horse, would be easier and right. probably painless, less painful. What else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to explore or?
No, I'm trying to think.
Comments on
what else did I really like? I don't know. I felt like they used a lot of things from the first one, but they also discarded a lot of things in the first one. Like, we discarded almost everybody from the Kingsmen because they all died.
Oh, right? What do you think of a lot of deaths happening? Like, a lot of surprising amount of, like, people. Like, in the first movie, I know it's the intro movie, but also only Colin Firth dies. And obviously, they bring him back in this one pretty early on. So, that's... Okay, so technically nobody died in the first one. But and in the second one...
That's a good guy.
The main character's, not love interest, but the main character's like partner dies, the girl.
Yeah.
Didn't make it out, as far as we know, I guess.
Yeah.
All the Kingsman head guy, the old guy, he dies. Mark Strong dies to John Denver, by the way.
Right.
Hence my intro earlier when I said take a shot. Yeah. A lot of deaths.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to see a lot more statesmen going on if there's a third one?
What do you mean?
What do you want to see? Do you want to see just the Kingsmen? I mean, the movie actually technically ends with Channing Tatum wearing Kingsmen stuff.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So
I like that.
Is he like
he's doing a mission
abroad?
Right, exactly. That's what it felt like. Foreign it felt students. Like he's learning. Right? He's learning proper
manners.
Etiquette. Yeah,
he's manners. Yeah, Colin Firth is going to teach him with the knives.
Manners maketh man.
And all the utensils.
Right.
I didn't like the regurgitation of that scene again, though. When they're fighting the street toughs in the bar. I'm like, you don't have to do the scene twice, guys.
Yeah, that felt...
I get it. They want to show Colin Firth, like, fucking up a little bit. But that's not... They really wanted to show his lasso. That's right. All he wanted.
That was, so, yeah. It was funny, though. He's like, oh, man, your depth perception ain't there. Perception.
Perception.
Like, yeah, you only have one eye.
Yeah, that's... And on top of being off your game, too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, bro?
Take me home.
Take you home? All right, that is it for our review of The Kingsmen. And that is it for our show, guys. Don't forget to do what? To check our bonus episode this month, guys. Don't, you know, everyone forgets it. I don't, but I know you do. So every month, the way it works is that we put out a bonus episode that we choose. And for those who donate to our show, which you can find at otherpodcast.com, we'll get this episode that month as a bonus episode, as we said. And any amount is qualifies, obviously, a dollar, whatever. And for those that do not, which is most of everyone out there, they will get that episode. It will be released on for the general masses, but it will be released 5 months down the road. It's our way of, like... You know, having some fun with a schedule or that kind of thing, and make donations a little bit more fun. And when we have some more tracking, we'll add some stuff, you know. So, but anyway, without further ado, bonus episode for this month, September, is Mother, Darren Aronofsky's latest and controversial film. Half the people love it, half the people hate it. Almost everyone that isn't a critic hates it, actually. But I saw it already, and I will, spoiler alert, I really liked it. So can't wait for you to hear that review. So check us out, see how you can get that episode. So let's talk about Marathon. We're still talking about it, guys. We're still thinking of doing something. Most likely it won't be like a director or a genre or even a format. It'll probably lean to like old style Hollywood movies. So it's going to be some fun in that, like maybe like the stars of yesteryear kind of movies, and maybe some of the more rarer movies that came out even at that time. So I think something like that's going to be in the works. Probably by November we'll get something for you guys. And since this is the end of our show, don't forget that we are available at otherpodcast.com, and you can follow us, meaning Roth and myself, on Twitter. I am at Armin Filmmaker, which is filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N, and Roth is at Gamer Ralph, all one word and no P-H, guys. That's an F at the end. And also, if you can't even donate to us or any of that kind of thing, if you like to do that, you can choose to give us a nice iTunes ratings. 5 stars would be awesome. You know, you don't have to give 4. Do you? No, I don't think you do. 5. It's way better. 5 is a great number. Everyone loves number 5. I say do that. So, 5 is an even number. I like uneven. You don't like uneven? Don't you know that song of the 5 golden rings? 5 is great. No, that's not enough. No. 5 can give us 1 star. It's an odd number. Odd number. 1 is not an odd number, actually. You know that 2 is both an odd and... I have my girlfriend here. She's seeing me recording, and she's like, hurry up and finish. And she's not letting me finish. I could... No, you're talking right now, and I'm clearly the audience can now know I'm having conversations with you. I'm not gonna edit this. I'm just gonna. No, you fucked up now, didn't you? I'm gonna leave it in there. I hope they can hear you. There's no mic on you. Anyway, guys, let's see what we're doing. We come out every other Friday typically, so I'm just gonna say every other weekend. I'm gonna say that from now on because this is coming out on Saturday. So every other weekend we come out, and so next time on October 13th, I do not pick the films. And Rolf, poor dear Rolf's work schedule killing him. I did not really ask him if he's picked any movies. I know he hasn't, but I know for a fact he'd want to watch The Foreigner, Jackie Chan's latest film, but and also he'd want to us review Blade Runner 2049. So I'm pretty sure those two are solid in the lead, and I probably will suggest Flatliners maybe as an alternative third. If not, he'll choose a movie that's on VOD right now that we can all watch and enjoy together. So until then, my loyal cinephiles, I am Oscar with Lexi here. See you later.